Today is Kylie Angove, and we're going to talk about one of the most important things in life, chocolate. Good day, Kylie.
Hi, how are you?
Good. You are an artisan chocolate maker.
Yes, I am.
What is an artisan chocolate maker?
I guess it's someone that takes a raw cocoa bean and works through a process to turn it into a lovely tasting chocolate bar.
Because like coffee, chocolate comes from a bean, isn't it?
Correct, yes. It comes from a cocoa pod, which there's about 80 different, 80 little beans in there. And it's about 20 degrees each side of the equator, about 20 degrees.
Basically different places around the world. Where would you say is the best place for chocolate beans?
I think that's one of the nice things about chocolate is that it's, the taste of chocolate is a very personal thing. So what appeals to some may not appeal to others. And a lot of bean-to-bar chocolate makers source them from, you know, up in South America, from Indonesia, Vietnam, Papua New Guinea, and they all have different flavours. So they might have been grown differently, grown in a different region, roasted differently, fermented differently. All of that plays a role in the flavour that you'll get from a chocolate. So I don't think there's any one place, but I think individuals who eat bean to bar probably have preference of what they like as they go through it.
Prior to our conversation today, we were talking about how you began and where the idea or the interest came from. And you told me that you, prior to this, you worked in the corporate world, consultancy, and then you went into landscaping.
Yes.
So all these things is totally, we can say, different from the other, isn't it?
They are. They're all very different. So I guess being in the corporate world, what I really liked about that was the engagement with people. And the kind of work that I did meant that I was working with change management and changing the way that people may have done their work and those kind of things. And then when I studied landscape architecture, what I was really pursuing was the creative side, and I love the idea of public space and how people might engage in a public space and how you might design a public space for people to use, and people interact with public spaces without even knowing how they might do that. And I really love the creative kind of psychological side of that.
And chocolate?
And I think how that all comes together is I love people's reaction to chocolate. I'm a lifelong chocolate lover, so that was certainly a driver. But I think when I first discovered the idea of making chocolate, to me what blew me away was probably that creative side of it. So there's a real sensory experience to chocolate. There's a flavour. It certainly has a smell. The smell of a fermented bean is so different to the smell of a roasted bean. And then you take it through that process and it's really textural. And I think chocolate has a really forgiving nature. So if you make a bar of chocolate and it doesn't succeed, you can put it back in and remelt it and start again. And I really love the idea that
so there's no wastage.
There's no wastage, and it's and that's the other thing. The possibilities of working with chocolate are just endless. So that one little bean, which is about the size of an almond, you take it through a process where you roast it and you remove the seed from its husk. And that one little bean, you can do so much with that. So you can add it to things. You can add flavour to it and make a chili chocolate or a mint chocolate. You can make cakes with it. I also make chocolate bars, but I also press my chocolate to make cocoa powder and turn that into drinking chocolate.
So did you attend a special class or training for this?
I did. It took me a little while. So probably it took me 6 months to kind of work out what it was about chocolate. And I did a bean-to-bar course with, say, the Patisserie School here in Melbourne. And that was fantastic. That went for about 3 days. And that was where the sensory experience really kind of came through, because you got to, you know, start from the bean, roast the bean, and then transition it through the process of making it.
It takes a lot of hard work for you to produce a single bar of chocolate, because you source the bean.
Yes.
And you grind it or you roast it?
Well, there's really 10 steps to making a chocolate bar, and each of them is a lot of legwork and a lot of sort of physical effort. So the first one is I source those beans, and that's, you know, sourcing beans is a bit tricky. So finding out who to source them from, how to source them, how to, a lot of people want fair trade, so it's looking at, you know, how you can engage with different suppliers to find out where they come from. The second step is then to sort those beans. So you need to, once you get your 60 kilo sack of beans, you need to then sort through and make sure that you get the best beans to roast. And roasting is all about developing the flavour for that particular bean, so there's some experimentation in that. And then there's a process of removing the husk from the bean itself, and that's what we call cracking and winnowing the beans. So it's separating out the nib, which you can eat, from the husk, which is the shell. And then it's about grinding it down to what they call a cocoa liquor. So that is the pure 100% chocolate, and that's just ground up, because the cocoa bean is 50% cocoa mass and 50% cocoa butter.
Mm-hmm.
So you get this liquid mass of chocolate, which is really bitter and not particularly nice. And then there's an art in it, and this is really just tasting it and experimenting it, but it can take about 3 to 4 days to refine that chocolate down to a silky smooth profile. So that's when we add the sugar and refine it down to make a nice silky smooth chocolate, and you start to taste it.
So it's not like baking a brownie where you go to the kitchen today and 40 minutes later you got a bar of chocolate.
No, it's not. It's really about, from the time that you get your beans on site, if I was to do it over a period to sort of, it doesn't happen one day after another, but it's about a 5-day process to get a bean from my packet to roast it, and then the process that probably takes about 5 days to get it into a bar.
So in a batch, how many would you make?
In a batch, probably, I'm pretty small, so my little machine does about 10 kilos of chocolate at a go.
That's a lot. It kind of gives me a headache thinking about it.
Which, it's interesting, I heard, was listening to an interview with another chocolate maker called Dandelion in the US, and he talked about how when you start making your own chocolate, you start with a little 5-kilo bag of chocolate, and before you know it, you have a container load of chocolate coming in, and that's very quickly how I'm progressing, and it's really exciting in itself. But I have a 30-kilogram tempera, so I would fill that up easily and start making chocolate bars. So, and it's usually, if I'm going to temper and make chocolate bars, I assign a day to that. So the night before, I will melt it down and get it tempering, and I'll wake up that day and start moulding my chocolate. So, you know, you might push out a couple of hundred bars in a day if you've got that much chocolate to do. So
do you ever buy chocolate from a shop, because you make your own chocolate? Is it like when you can make your own coffee, you have this thing where it has to be this certain taste, this certain bite?
Well, it's interesting, because I don't buy, if you want to give up eating chocolate, probably making your own chocolate is a good way to do it. But I do tend to, because I'm absorbed in it all the time, I like to buy other bean to bar chocolate and taste it, just to get an idea of what their flavours are and what they're doing, and compare that to my own. That's always good. And there's some really fabulous bean to bars out there.
So when you say bean to bars, these are artisan chocolate makers.
Correct. People like me that take a raw bean and transition that into a chocolate bar.
Is there a growing community for that?
I think there is. I definitely think there is. There's a few of us in Melbourne, and there are, you know, a few spread out through New South Wales. There's one in WA. There's a lot through New Zealand. So we're all, some of us are bigger than others. I'm probably on the much smaller scale, but quickly growing. So certainly there's an interest in that artisanal side of sourcing your own and making your own.
And where can we find you? Do we find you in the chocolate shops or in markets?
Well, at the moment I'm in markets. I also have a coffee roasting business, and that's called Gaslight Coffee. And if you go to Gaslight Coffee, you'll be able to buy my chocolate through there. We are on Facebook and Instagram, and that's all under Chocamore. And I'm just starting to look at the retail side of things.
Wow, it must be heaven at your place, the chocolate and coffee.
It is. Last week we had a big roasting week, so we roasted a lot of coffee and we roasted a lot of chocolate. And to come into our house when we're doing that is pretty special.
Thank you very much, Kaliango, for sharing your story. And thank you, and looking forward to more wonderful chocolates from you.
Absolutely. Thanks for taking the time.
SBS.
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 SBS Radio.